let's get into it. The book today is Prophetic Company. Now, this book is written by Dan McCollum. I hope I didn't butcher his name. I'm going to read the front and back. The reason why I'm on this spiel is because, well, one of my gifts, to be fair, if you read Corinthians 1st and 2nd, you'll realize that Paul is suggesting to us, to the church of Corinth, that you could have all the spiritual gifts. But he emphasizes prophecy. He says, I speak in tongues the more, you guys, but the main one I want you to have is prophecy. And here's my two cents, you know, when people say prophecy, because we usually think of like prophecy, right? You're speaking things that are about to come. From my understanding, from the previous talk, from the strength and comfort and encourage, I would say, since Paul wants us all to have a gift of prophecy, I would argue, essentially, every person who has this gift has the courage and the capacity to speak God's word and authority to somebody in the time of need. Now, here's why you need the other gifts. You need discernment. Because you can't just say Psalms 23 to every person who has a problem. After all, there's like 100+ chapters of Psalms. So which chapter do you use that is appropriate for the situation? And that requires discernment and a few other gifts. And here's my point. If we don't have the gift of prophecy, like this first one, we can't even talk to each other. You know, we can't even like encourage each other with God's word. That's fundamentally bad. That's a bad place to be. You got a bunch of leaders yapping at your church, but after that, everyone's silent and scared and introverted. I wouldn't say that they're introverts. I say that's a spirit of fear. You may not want to talk, but good God have mercy. You got a word from God, but you don't want to speak. Lord help us. That's called fear, my friend. So that's my interpretation of prophecy, is you have this ability to speak God's word with confidence and clarity to someone in need. If you haven't noticed, we got pretty much the opposite of that going on Facebook and on the internet and in the news. But I digress. So the back of this book says, we are living in an unprecedented resurgence of prophetic gifts and graces. Healthy expressions of the gift of prophecy most often emerge from those who have discovered the key of living in a true and vital connection with community. Now, I want to stop there. The reason why community is important is, or why we go to church, right? Well, how do you utilize your gift? Actually, let's talk about that too. The purpose of the church, in my opinion, it's an area where you train and stir your gift so you can use it in your daily and personal life and take back territory from the devil or, you know, in your life in general. But it's really hard to get victory in your personal life if you don't have your private life and your skills and practicing your gifts, right? If you got to practice on the piano, why is it when it comes to your own gifts, now it's like, I'm just going to mulligan this one. So that's how I see the church. The church is an environment where you can exercise your gift. And now you're probably thinking, well, Andre, I got the gift to healing, but we're not supposed to lay hands on each other. Okay, well, here's another choice. I would never recommend leaving your home church. You're probably there for a reason. I'm sure someone put you there for a reason. Maybe it's close. And the body of Christ needs help everywhere. But you can still go to environments where your gift can be utilized. For example, I went to this Thursday night one called The Table. At The Table, I'm butchering their title. Table downtown. And they have this worship thing at 6 p.m. It goes till 8 p.m. for 2 hours. Well, technically, it's worship for 1 hour. And then 30 minutes, like kind of like a sermon, they kind of stir the gifts, and then they do some healing, help people out. That's powerful, right? Because now you're in an environment where if someone has a word, someone wants to lay hands, someone wants to do their gifts, they can do it. And you need to put yourself in environments where you can exercise your abilities and gifts. If you got the gift of healing, but your church doesn't believe in laying hands, well, you can go to that church for your sermon, but you better go somewhere where you can use the gift, otherwise you will never feel fulfilled. Fulfillment comes when a need is satisfied, or should I say a true need, a need that you feel like only you can do, right? Because not a lot of people feel satisfied scooping ice cream into a cone, but for somebody, they love doing it because that was their father's business. I don't know, can't make this stuff up. I don't know the desires of people's hearts. Not all desires are good, but it's interesting how the things that attract us, and hopefully they're of God and it gets us in the right place. But I digress again. So let's continue the back. These pages unearth biblical and historical foundations from the concepts of prophetic company while laying a path forward of the definitions and structures available for building strong and robust prophetic communities. So in other words, this guy has created an organization in which where, you know how we have like the prayer room and or like healing days or healing room? Apparently prophetic room is like, it's the same concept like that. You have a room full of people who have this gift, but they speak over you. Now, to Paul's point, it would probably be cool if everyone had that ability, because then we can always encourage each other in all of our interactions. But hey, let's focus on the main thing. Let's see. Best-selling author and president of Welton Academy, Dr. Jonathan Welton. Dan McCollum's new book, Prophetic Company, is easily the most unique book of prophetics I have read in 10 years. I can't wait to see the effects of this teaching's impact the body of Christ worldwide. It's time for the Prophetic Movement 2.0. Okay, I didn't know what 1.0 was. Dan McCollum's book, Prophetic Company, is a necessity for individuals, churches, and businesses, and what to function in a healthy outpouring of prophecy. Doug Edison, author of Understanding Your Dreams Now and Personal Development of God's Way. Well, already, books I never heard of, or people I never heard about. But just because I didn't hear about it doesn't mean they're any less true. A swig of water. Okay, we're going to start at chapter 5. I would encourage, this book has, it's got like 130 pages, but what I like about this book is it kind of, it basically explains, how do you want to call this? It basically explains the circumstances we find ourselves in today. What I mean by that is, well, what happened to prophecy? Why did he get such a bad rap? He explains some of the mental hurdles that stop us from doing it, and then he uses Bible scriptures to prove that there is definitely an office of prophet. Like, prophets aren't just these one-off characters. They can be, but he uses a story from Kings and Judges, or really the story of Saul. And when Saul gets anointed to become king, he goes to Samuel, and they said the prophets, and the main one was leading it was Samuel, but there's a group of them and they were prophesying, and then Saul goes in there and then he starts prophesying and then he becomes king. So it's just funny how there literally is an environment. We don't give a lot of talk on this, but it is interesting to suggest that this was definitely going down. Anywho, coaches and team members, chapter 5. Our prophetic company at the mission did not start from a void. By 2010, I had spent 12 years serving and training under gifted prophetic fathers in the greater Cincinnati area, followed by 11 years of the core leadership team of the mission in Vaticaville, California. The humble and empowering leadership of David and Deborah Crone at the mission drew high-level resident prophets like Graham Cook, Baron Easterling, Dina McClure, and Keith Farrett, as well as the fatherly influence of visiting prophets such as, you know, move this up. There we go. But an early day, as well as the farthest influences of visiting prophets such as Ernest Gentile, James Gall, Dr. Mark Shinron, Bobby Connor, and others. In the early days of our school of the supernatural, we practiced daily trainings in the prophetic with Dina Graham, and other gifted trainers, Joyce Milton. All types of people are in this, eh? I benefited greatly from the sharpening that came by associating with these amazing prophetic leaders. During that time and to the present, it has been my great privilege to co-found the Bethel School of Prophets with Chris Volaton. I want to stop right there. Did you realize there's people that got your gift and they have a whole freaking school of them? You just got to find them. You got to do the work. You got to Google it. You got to do whatever you got to do to find the place, because they're meeting up somewhere. Someone's got the confidence to teach it, preach it, and even live it out. Maybe not your whole church, because your church is trying to feed, you might hear this term, feed the flock. That's the responsibility of your pastor. That means your pastor has to cater to everyone. But catering to everyone doesn't necessarily mean they're going to cater to you every day. They'll try their best. Let's see, School of Prophets. Chris, among others, is a strong, valued prophetic voice into our house. He is a longtime friend and a true prophet. A true prophet. In my personal life, I share all of this background information so that you understand that all these prophetic influences create a healthy, robust spiritual atmosphere at the mission. Before we began forming a structured prophetic community, a rather organic and powerful prophetic atmosphere already existed. The mission was even at that time kind of a place where you could tap just about anyone that sort of asked for a prophetic word and receive something about both encouraging and accurate. Now that right there, I guess I already spoke it, but that right there is proof positive that that's what it looks like in a practical way in your church. You could tap anyone on their shoulder and they could encourage you on the spot. In fact, I would argue the measure, well, yes and no, because I can't blame, I don't want to victim blame the pastor, but I would argue the fruit of a pastor's ministry is what is his congregants doing with the information he preached about? Are they using his sermons to get in line with God's word? Are they just going to use his sermon to justify their inability to uphold the mantle of responsibility? Not saying that we get saved by works, but what I am saying is I'm saved and I feel compelled to do the work or do the right thing. But I'm getting ahead of myself. In our case, structuring in the community first came out of the recognition of what was already there. The reader who is trying to prophetic culture from nothing or is only beginning the joyful journey has the advantage of defining and establishing common values and healthy structure within their... It's interesting. Prophetic community right from the beginning. Within every church, there are people who are having prophetic perceptions, insights, and encounters. They may just lack context or language for it. As you begin biblical training and activation of prophecy and prophetic impressions, even if you must substitute the phrases hearing God or encountering God for more direct prophetic language, the potential within your own prophetic community will begin to surface. Yeah, this is interesting because he's already attacking the immaturity of that phrase, hearing from God, or I encountered God. Because everyone hears and encounters, or let me rephrase it, everyone experience with God is different. You see, I'll never forget this, one girl had a testimony about butterflies, and she saw a monarch butterfly at her new place of residence. There was a butterfly. Then she saw another butterfly. It was at her job. Then she saw another monarch butterfly at her church. And she's like, okay, I'm just going to stay here. I'll be honest with you. I'll be sure with you. I never had a butterfly land on my damn hand. But three times in a row? I mean, okay. You know, okay. I'm not a seer, but okay. That's kind of interesting. The prophetic... Within your own prophetic community will begin to surface. Okay. Structure rising from necessity. The first two spokes of our prophetic company rose out of it of necessity. That's the word. People were attending our services and conferences with an expectation of receiving prophetic ministry. Our usual mode of operation was for one of the core church leaders to set out a call for volunteers with two qualifications. They had some form of prophetic training and willingness to prophesy. That right there, the willingness. the willingness? Do they got the will to do it? Lord have mercy. That's a good question, right? Raise your hand if you want to actually do this. You did that. You deserve some. That deserves some badge of honor. Next, we quickly threw these volunteers into a dozen or more teams who would minister in groups of 2 to 4 to those who had come to receive a word. This method worked great for a long time, and of course, we used evaluation forms to keep tabs on each team's accuracy and reinforce the values of our evaluation forms. Man, my oh my, it's so practical and yet so powerful. The problem at the end of the day was not in this method of effectiveness, but the trouble harkened back to the question Graham had asked me years ago. Is this a prophetic community, or do we just love prophecy? The danger threatening the concept of prophetic company lurked in the randomness of it all. Could we really call this a community? What were the connection points beyond our shared ability to prophesy? Was a follow-up form really showing us what was going on in these prophetic appointments? In my heart, I longed for more. Team member and coaches. The answer for us came in the form of appointing coaches. Okay, so the appointed structure over every team. Coaches don't have to be the most prophetic person on their team. They just need to possess two things: good people skills and a clear understanding of the values and visions that form our prophetic protocol. I want to pause right here. So there's a game called Dragon Age Inquisition. You may not know this game. They went woke in their recent one of Veilguard, but that's a whole other topic. The point is, in that game, there's an interaction. Look it up if you wish, but there's an interaction with an NPC or a companion. His name is Bol, a Qunari. But the point is, he talks to your main protagonist, and he says, "You're the leader." And your protagonist says, "Well, how do you know I'm the leader of the Inquisition? How do you know?" And he says, "I can tell because the leader doesn't need to be the strongest or the brightest or the smartest. They're not the strongest or the smartest, but they are the person who is willing to make the hard choices." I felt something when I said it. Maybe someone's supposed to hear that, but here's my point. You're probably thinking to yourself, "Well, I'm not strong enough, I'm not smart enough, so I can't really do the job." That's not the question. The question is, are you willing to make the choice, the hard choices that no one else has the courage to make? And they don't need to be life-altering choices, but they can be choices like, thinking for yourself. I would argue if you can think for yourself, you are a leader. If you have others think for you, you're a follower. Now, the truth of the matter is, the answer is yes. We're both simultaneously in our private life and in practical life. We are listening. We are disobeying. We are following Christ or we're not. We are following ourselves. The point is that we're vacillating between the two all the time. But that statement in that game, very simple, very powerful. Right, we got freaking leadership books on this. And it's like, it's very simple, guys. The person who is willing to make the choices and hold people accountable, congratulations. Oh, and they care about people, obviously. You'll notice that though they don't have smarts or strengths or really any skills, they make up with it with compassion. Tough love, per se. But they're willing to have those conversations with their compatriots. And so as you can see here, the coach doesn't need to have the best prophetic skill. They just have to have a clear understanding of the values and the vision that forms our prophetic protocol. That's it. You ever notice the main character in every story just happens to just know what the goal is, and they will do whatever it takes to get that goal done, even side objectives that help it out or people. But anywho, I think someone needed that to help them out. Coaches are asked to choose 2 to 8 team members whom they enjoy working with. That's funny. These recruits become a permanent part of their prophetic team. We will also encourage coaches to vary their teams with beginners, intermediate, and advanced level team members. This little bit of structure produces multiple advantages. The first advantage of this structure for leadership comes in the form of convenience. The method proves way easier. Leaders only need to call 10 coaches rather than to recruit and organize 100 volunteers. Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh boy. The word that came to my mind was the delegate. 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 You don't Moses yourself. Gosh, so many churches don't do this. It's so sad. They don't delegate. You have to give responsibility to everyone. But I would argue every pastor needs to have his different pastoral ministries and their leaders, and then they have to have their own teams, and then they have to have their own teams, right? Like it needs to be a, I don't want to say rank and file, but there needs to be a level of structure and people you can talk to. Or should I really phrase it? People that you know who you can talk to get the results, right? Because obviously, not everyone should be talking to the lead pastor. But here's the thing. If you have a problem, do you know who to talk to? I talk to the lead pastor. Okay, lead pastor dies. Well, who do you talk to now? I don't know. There you go. That's a problem. You have no cre the if someone was probably thinking the secondary pastor, you're probably right. Pastor so-and-so. But the point is, there's someone who's got the answer, but you just have to discern who. And if your church has to make it very discernible, there may be a spirit of fear of man or idolism of titles, because that's an ineffective means of doing things. But I digress. I mean, there's 72 elders, man. 72. Do you have 72 elders in your church? It's not really the number, but the purpose is the same. Do you have, I mean, I guess that was the spirit of Moses. Do you have 72 people helping you? Whatever your spirit is or whatever you need help with, that's how many people you need. I don't know how to quantify that, but for Moses, it was 72. But I digress. Each coach will call a few of their team members to find out who is available to minister within the particular week. People are busy. They have multiple team members who will make up each potential team. The same volunteers who are not overtaxed. By giving people more freedom in scheduling, by having the same person call, recruit them from each prophetic opportunity, relationships, and community grow. Yeah, so volunteer work doesn't exactly work. It doesn't create that. We encourage coaches to be in a regular contact with their team members in addition to the times of recruiting them for ministry opportunities. Coaches serve as a sort of pastors for the prophetic team. Some send texts or emails, others meet for coffee. Some have home groups, others just hang out as opportunities arises. There are no strict guidelines on how to connect no strict guidelines how to connect with your team or how often coaches are required to be with their teams, just a general encouragement to assist in the goal of growing and developing or finding companies through international relationships. I love how people realize, I think people are realizing more and more that relationship precedes results and revelation. It is not possible to get high results and have no relationship. Maybe you did. Maybe you did, but not forever. You're not gonna manage that forever. I don't think the humanity has the capacity to accommodate such feats for long periods of time. Yeah, we went to the moon, but we didn't go there by ourselves, folks. You'll notice the rocket ship. It's got a lot of people. A lot of people build that ship. A lot of people watch that ship, and a lot of people, a lot of hands to make that thing work. But if you just watch the photo, you would think it was just a couple people on the moon. They drove the ship. They didn't make it. Gotta know that many hands make light work. But they gotta be the right hands, of course. Building the connection. In addition to the coaches, I appointed a couple who pastored the coaches, Josh and Sherry Caldwell. Cale. This couple sent a weekly email to all their prophetic coaches. Would I do emails? Man, that's okay. They wisely varied the context of these emails. Some contain training information, while others are encouraging words. Coaches' emails also contain a testimony or, oh, now this is different. Yeah, that makes them actually interesting. Calling help with establishing new coaches, training them, and pastoring them through challenges. I meet personally with all the coaches en masse about once a month. This meeting has many of the same elements as our emails. We share current testimonies and how to pray and treasure with other lives, upcoming opportunities for ministry, coaching tips, keeping the greater vision in front of the larger prophetic community. This is fun, encouraging time. Yeah, that's all good. Coaches also play a key role in advancing the company by being aware of when their teams are ready to become coaches themselves. Coaches make the best recruiters because they personally observe both the candidates. That's right there. They personally observe both the candidate's prophetic skill, accuracy in the target environment. In other words, they've seen it. And this is powerful because nothing is more disturbing to me. I believe the devil has, unfortunately, convinced people that if you have a title, it means you're a person of good character. Yes, but clearly in the times we're living in and with the internet and the ability to hold people more accountable than ever, clearly not. A title and a position of authority does not constitute a one's true character. So I like how they determine who is a coach. Well, a coach watches you and they can tell based upon your zeal, commitment, and professionality, how you carry yourself. So it's a lot different than, there's a difference between I've seen what you've done versus here's what I've done. By coaches multiplying themselves, the numbers of our team can grow to meet the increasing need. We started our prophetic company with just 3 or 4 coaches and then grew to about 25. Our goal is to raise to at least 50 coaches in the next few years, enabled us to minister to 500 people in one sitting and then double again by raising up 100 coaches and the teams that could serve 1,000 people. Well, there you go. Real-time coaching. To demonstrate the need for coaches, let me introduce you to a prophetic team leader we will call Hannah Housewords. Okay, he's changing names now. All of a sudden, he must have asked all these people, can I use your name? Well, Hannah wasn't feeling it. Hannah is the kind of person who gives the same basic prophetic word to everyone she meets. In Hannah's case, she prophesies to every third person so that God was going to give them a house. The word Hannah gave people wasn't bad or unbiblical, but it seemed odd to hear the same word over and over again. God is not handing out free houses to every third person. We may not have caught the weakness with our old methods of forming random volunteer teams and handling our evaluation for the end of the prophetic ministry time. People receiving prophetic ministry would not have questioned this word on their evaluation form because everyone likes to hear that they will receive. We would not have known that Hannah was handling out this word so frequently because she would have been on a different team each time. Volunteer issues. You know, that's the issue with volunteers. It's hard to consistent teams in real-time coaching by team captains proved to be another advantage for improving the strength and integrity of our prophetic company with a very clear point. In other words, I need to pause that right there. Accountability. This is so huge. This is why the church needs. But if there's no accountability, well, who's holding me accountable? Me. And so what helps me do it? Well, there's a lot of things. Prayer, the Bible, self-reflection, dying to the self, recognizing what Jesus done for my life. But unfortunately, that requires a level of self-discipline that is unprecedented in this day and age, especially with all these distractions and detractors. So, but in this case, this rankles up a lot of the cats. And that's pretty wise. I just love how... I'll use a more practical example. When you go to the gym, right? I notice something. When I go to the gym by myself, I can't work out as hard because I don't have someone spotting me. Secondly, I make a lot of errors because my friend, my best friend, Andrew, he can watch me and he can tell me when my form is off. You know what's funny? He doesn't tell me anything when my form's good. So it's really encouraging to know when he's not yapping at me. But when I get my form right, I feel it. So, and I can do the bench more because, well, I can do more weight because if I mess up, he's going to grab the bar, right? So you have more, there's a greater confidence and a greater contingent for error or correction for error because you have someone there who can help you out. Now, I'm not saying we need to rely on people to the point where we don't rely on God, but my point is this. Who is that one person. Is there one person at church that you know outside of church and holds you accountable? Yeah. See, that right there is the answer. That right there will determine the trajectory of your kids and your own life. And it's a difficult one to say, but it's an unfortunate truth. Or as was it Jim Rohn? I forgot. Maybe it was Don Pena. There's all types of. They all kind of preach from the same. They're in their own echo chambers, but they said this phrase: "You show me your friends, I'll show you your future." You're like the five friends. And it's because that your friends create the standard in your mind of what's okay. If you're surrounded by rich people and they talk about rich things and what they're doing, you feel compelled to do it. Likewise, if you're hanging around a bunch of, or as the book of Proverbs say, hang out with the, sleep with the dogs, you wake up with fleas. You can hang around the dogs, you can feed the dogs, you can walk the dog, just don't sleep with them. The Bible says, you do all that other stuff, just don't do those, just don't cross that line. But hey, I digress. I need to get a shirt like that. Maybe I could sell a shirt that I digress. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. With a very clear point person, with a very clear point person, oh, that's what they're calling them, point person, growth, critique, and advanced learning could occur in the moment, it was most needed immediately following the appointment. The coach was able to pull Hannah aside and identify with her that perhaps she was ministering out of her own desire for a house. Hannah learned to not prophesy from her own needs and desires and was able to continue to serve on a prophetic team with a real-time accountability. In the end, we came to understand that you can't grow from what you don't know. Oh God, read your Bible. Hate to tell you this, guys, because I thought this was true, but how should I say this? When you got saved, you gave your life to Christ based upon the information that you recently received and believed that He died for you on Calvary, rose from the dead, and your sins are forgiven. That's awesome. Unfortunately, that does not mean that now you have the entire Bible deposited into your mental faculty. That's that last verse says you can't grow from what you don't know. Also, we can go on another tirade and say that it's hard to really give your life to someone you don't know, but that's why people like to give classes because you're not just going to do it flamboyantly. But to that point, it's really hard to give prophetic words to people if you don't read the Bible. How can you speak God's truth to people if you never read it? That's kind of dumb. That's kind of an issue. The reason why Jesus could do it is because He is the Word. The reason why the Hebrews can do it is because they read the Old Testament and all that other stuff and the scrolls. They were kind of like ingratiated with it. That's all they had to read, honestly. I don't think they had any other books distracting them. But there you go. Real-time coaching also helps with the types of person I will call Dark Dennis. Dennis is the guy who shares about the hard times you have been through and the dark tunnels ahead. The dark tunnels ahead. Now in our protocol, Dark Dennis will usually throw in a gratuitous, but there is light ahead at the end of his depressing prophecy. A real-time coach can identify prophetic tendencies that may need some deep pressure. They also afford the opportunity to speak to something right after it happens. For instance, if darkness give his depressing word, we can gently cut in with more uplifting prophetic encouragement for the receiver and then speak an appropriate course correction to when the receiver has stepped away. We could also pass Virginia about his fascination with dark prophetic words. So, I would argue it is true, but just don't stay in it. Right, you can speak the realities of this fallen world, but just don't stay in it. Coach, I guess in this case, he did it to the point where it was noticeable. Like every time he talks, it's always dark. I don't know. Coaches give us another level of true accountability in which we are not only being responsible for the words we speak, but accountable for how we deliver them, the motives behind our delivery. And overall health as a team member because coaches are chosen from their people skills as well as prophetic. Chosen for their people skills. My God. as well as prophetic graces, they catch these little foxes before they spoil the whole line. Let's see here. Prophetic synergy. I think another huge benefit of forming constant teams is the possibility of achieving prophetic synergy. Synergy can be defined as an interaction of cooperation of two or more agents to produce a combined effect greater than the sum of their separate effects. Simply put, synergy is this concept of the sense of chemistry that comes most often from spending time together. Underline that, spending time together. You only get synergy when you spend time together. People don't know what they're missing. Neither did I for a time. I've seen this happen so many times where we discover more of God's grace and wisdom through observing how others prophesy. I want to pause right there. I want to preface more on that, on the synergy thing. If you truly believe in God, I pray at home and I worship God at home. I got a question for you, champ. If you really believe in God and the gifts of the Spirit, that means there's someone at church right now that's got a word and they got the gift of healing. You want to play a game called I'll Just Heal Myself? By the way, there's no story in the Bible where God said, hey, lay hands on your own head and pray to yourself and heal your leprosy. He doesn't say that. Usually it's God doing it or someone else is praying for you or you listen to God's commands. So here's my point. If you're in an area of isolation and solidarity is means moments with God. Isolation means you're separated from everyone. If you're isolated from people, how do you have access to the gifts? Other gifts. Unless you're suggesting you have all the gifts, but that doesn't make any sense because all the gifts seem to only work in tandem with each other in these environments. But anywho, I'm just saying it would be the devil's delight if you were in an environment where you could not utilize your abilities. And by the way, let's just say you really are that awesome. Great. Then help out the rest of us. Who do I make the check out to? I've seen this happen to so many times where we observe God's prophecy wisdom through observing how other people's prophecy. By working together repeatedly, we can begin to anticipate when a fellow teammate has a sure word, is wrestling with a word, or simply needs some encouragement to speak out. By the way, if I'm talking fast or mumbling, it's because I've already read it. I didn't want to repeat it. By recognizing these signals in one another, we can call out greatness that so often waits for invitation. Greatness that waits for invitation. Through other times, great leaders have recognized the value of structure and facilitate synergy. Aristotle said, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Isaiah the prophet said, as the new wine is found in the cluster, do not destroy it, for a blessing is in it. Paul wrote how each of our gifts are like the parts of a greater body. More than getting the job as a prophetic team, we desire to grow together to partner for a greater third heaven breakthrough. A third heaven can only be achieved through working and growing love for one another as we access greater measures of God's power and grace. Team members, the encouragers, each branch of our prophetic community contributes something specific and unique to the greater whole. We speak of our prophetic branches as spokes rather than levels because the different things in this instance do not represent superior measures of prophetic prowess, but rather the uniqueness of each contribution to the prophetic company where each member is valued and vital. Team members build the most fundamental and foundational element of the prophetic community. If Apostle Paul was correct when he said the one who prophesies is greater because he edifies the church, and if Jesus says greatness is found in service, then our prophetic team members manifest a high level of greatness through their prophetic encouragement and service. We believe the encouragement is the mother tongue of the Holy Spirit. Encouragement pours supernatural courage in people's lives to take hold of earth-shattering destinies. Understanding this true nature of encouragement, the contribution of team members cannot be overstated or overlooked. Coaches, the pillar of gatekeepers. Coaches, as mentioned before, are the gatekeepers of our prophetic protocol. Scriptures tell us to judge and to take a word, for we know in part and prophecy in part. Coaches make sure that our methods and our motives stay true to Scripture and the character and the nature of God. Yup. They keep our culture healthy through reinforcing a real, measurable, and practical accountability. The basic responsibility of a coach in our communities are as follows. They recruit their own team members subject to leadership and approval. They pastor, encourage, and facilitate community within this team. They serve as the lead person in the prophetic group during ministry. Team ministry, they reinforce our prophetic protocols. They perform real-time coaching, encouraging, and correcting of team members. No one wants to do that. Correcting. They help with prophetic correcting and with compassion. They help with prophetic activations at our school of prophecy. They recommend team members whom they feel are qualified to become coaches. They attend a once-a-month coaches meeting. Coaches are connectors, pillars of the true prophetic community. They manifest a pastoral's love and prophetic grace that creates a sense of family. Creates a sense of family. Where each part of the community can know and feel their connection to the whole with the value of loving one another and building community. We follow the way of love while earnestly designing spiritual goods. Prophecy without love is noise. Coaches help us honor our goal of expressing our faith through love. I am so thankful for those who have partnered with us to build prophetic communities. It's so much fun to work and discover together what is possible for the community of love and faith. I feel that we are just beginning to explore the benefits of functioning as a true prophetic company. In the next chapter, I will share the contribution and the role of those I refer to as seers and mystics. Interesting. Well, there you go. That was one chapter and a lot of my yapping in the middle of it. I think that's what stirring the gifts are. You read something and then you just feel stirred. But, yep, that's one chapter out of... How many chapters are there? I didn't do that, did I? The chapter index? Let me see. Okay, we have 12 chapters. Dedication about the author, resources. It's 137. It's about 123 pages. Starts at page... page 15? 15 to 23. So about 110 pages of content. And the first chapter is Prophetic Company Biblical. He pulls up Bible verses. Chapter 2, the historical veracity of the prophetic. So kind of goes over the stories. Chapter 3, the four lies. I think chapter 4 would have been a better one, but I digress. The four lies that paralyze. So the things that like kind of stunted prophecy as a gift because, you know, it was like kind of the black sheep of them. Chapter 4, who can prophesy? Chapter 5, coaches and team members. We just did that. Chapter 6, seers and mystics. Chapter 7, prophets. Chapter 8, prophetic prebystery. That was chapter 8. Chapter 9, the good fight. Chapter 10, prophetic diversity. Chapter 11, treaty prophetic company. Chapter 12, advancing prophetic company. Okay. Cool. A lot of stuff of yap. I think the main one for me is, I just had that thought before I read that weird word, but I guess my main thing is, well, hope you found that content useful. I like to, we did our yap sesh for 40 minutes, but I guess my encouraging word for you is the content is out there. Go and look for it. The need is real. Go and find it. The need that only you can fulfill, or you can really get the job. Like, yeah, we can all play the piano. We all got fingers. But, I mean, you can really play that piano. And I think the other thing, too, is it's really hard to be prophetic when you don't read your Bible and know Scripture. Not that that gets you saved, but it gives you the ability to help people and speak over them. So, with that, I was just trying to explain it in a practical way. In that regard, we all need to have that gift. Well, thanks for hearing me yap for 45 minutes. And we'll do this again next week. You have a blessed day. And I'll talk to you later. Deuces.